Let's get to our guest, Ferry Bors, Moshe Rayan, director at the Institute of Global Finance, on the line from Sydney. Ferry Bors, thanks for being with us. I'm looking at the data that we're just now getting from China. It's a little weak, I guess, not unsurprisingly. With the retail sales number going negative, the street was looking for some positivity. Is this all COVID-related, do you think?
Mainly, I would say, yes. I think, as we know, number of cities been affected by zero COVID policy. And naturally, you could expect that, a bit of downturn, if you like, in some of the activities in China. And of course, we know that economic growth in China this year hasn't been strong. And the expectations are that hopefully next year the situation could get better and economic growth could go a bit higher than 3.8%, which was the last quarter, hopefully to something around 4.5%, if you like, for next year.
Do you anticipate that this weak data could motivate policymakers to perhaps speed up the process of relaxing COVID restrictions?
That's exactly the point. That's right. And I think we are now getting signals that the policymakers are considering that. The fact that the delegation of China now is in G20 and can see how basically it is, if you like, safe to manage life with COVID. I think there will be, I would say, some movement to ensure that they can basically balance, if you like, the restriction versus economic activities. Yeah.
So away from COVID, I think sentiment has also been impacted by the collapse of the property market. And we know now, as a result of the news from Friday of last week, that Beijing intends to provide a little bit of support where the property market is concerned. Do you think this is going to improve in a meaningful way consumer sentiment in China?
I think so. I would say definitely. I mean, the Chinese economy really didn't have a great time over the last year or so. And definitely supporting the housing industry and the construction in general in China is going to stimulate the economy. And also it could increase the consumer sentiments and confidence, if you like, for them to spend money. I would say they are the measures that they are now considering as part of incentivizing consumers as well as exporters to increase their activities.
And Ferry Bors, I want to return to what Ed was talking about there, that meeting between Presidents Biden and Xi. The photo op I found quite telling. I can't remember ever seeing Xi Jinping smile quite so broadly. Joe Biden says this isn't a kumbaya moment, but which economy needs a thaw in relations more right now?
Well, basically, I think they both did very well, I would say, and the spirit of the meeting appears to be fairly constructive and positive. And the signals we are getting from, I think, both parties, I mean, Joe Biden had a press conference after the summit, and of course, we've seen some statements from Chinese officials. Foreign Ministry, I think all indications are that I think it's a good starting point, but what we need to know is whether they are going to, if you like, follow up, as they've suggested, with some of the agreements, and over time, they are going just to basically abide by some of the in-principle agreements, if you like.
Technology is a big sticking point. We know that the Biden administration has put very tough restrictions on access of very sophisticated technology, particularly as it relates to semiconductor production. To what extent does this have the ability, if these restrictions do remain in place, to kind of significantly curtail China's ambitions when it comes to advanced technologies?
Well, there is no question that even if there have been a constructive meeting between the two leaders, it doesn't mean that some of the trade restrictions are going to be removed. And I think, as you suggested, all indications are that, as also the President Joe Biden mentioned, competition will continue on. And behind the competition, there will be some, if you like, non-tariff and other measures to restrict, if you like, some of the flow of commodities and goods. And I think for that reason, I don't think we need to read too much with regard to semiconductors issues as a consequence of the current summit. And I think we should just really be mindful whether there will be a better bilateral trade relationship between these two countries in the months and, in effect, years ahead.
Later today, there'll also be a meeting between Xi Jinping and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. And I'm wondering where you might place the odds of a relaxation of the $20 billion worth of trade strikes against Australia and what kind of message that might send to the rest of the region.
Yes, I think the fact that there is no precondition for this meeting is, I think, it's very constructive approach because it allows China to look at the issue of trade with Australia and, as you mentioned, a significant amount of fund and resources which have been basically pulled out of the Australian economy. And I think it is, in all indications are that it is possible that there could be some relaxation of trade between these two countries. Mm-hmm. But good news is it could be done in a way that both countries could feel they are the winners as a consequence of that.
All right. Farih Bosmasharian, Director at the Institute of Global Finance. Thanks so much for joining us with your insights today.